Thinking of that song, is that a song for old people or sick people? Those that look like, you know what, I'm fixing to go to one of those two places anyhow, so I might as well be thinking about heaven. You know, I think it's important for us all through our life, always keep heaven in view. I was thinking of Pilgrim's Progress when Christian started out, and it tells us several places through his journey. Did he have it with where he never had any failures, he never had any problems? He had lots of problems. But what he would do was when that problem was solved, his face was still set toward the celestial city. In each of the places, maybe he made a wrong decision and now he's in Doubting Castle. You know, that book has more meaning to us as we look at life in general. We can get into Doubting Castle and never remember that we have the key in our pocket, a key of a promise. There's lots of promises for us to get out. But what I like was that every time he kept his face toward the celestial city. When he came to the place where he meets some people running back the other way, and they say, you better turn around, there's some lions ahead. And he thought, you know what, I've got to go that way if I'm going to get to the celestial city. So I'm just going to have to go ahead on. We need to be able to have, you know, we sing that song 223. I mean to go right on until the crown is won. Let opposition come. Let whatever wants to come my way. I've got to make heaven my home. I appreciate that song. I'd like to share something that the Lord's been dealing with me about this week. And if I could put a title to it, it would be Plant the Seed. And we're talking about the Word of God and getting the Word of God planted in my heart to where it takes root and it grows up into something very useful. And I'd like to start with a verse that I thought, as I read it, this is a real important first step to be able to plant the seed of the Word of God in my heart. In Haggai 2:19 is a little piece of a instruction. It said, is the seed yet in the barn? That's an interesting thing right there. If I were planning this year to plant a garden, and I went out and bought the plants, I bought the seeds for planting, you know, sometimes you put them up in your cabinet, and I'm going to get these planted. Maybe it needs to warm up a little more. But you know what, if I never get them out, if time passes by, if I never get them planted, I'm never going to have any harvest from it. I want to be able to look at that throughout this subject today and really throughout my life. Planting the seed, the Word of God, not just letting it come to me. You know, this past week in the meeting at Guthrie, there were times where there were a lot of seeds that were cast out there. If I could just think of every scripture that was used was a seed that was thrown out for us. And what do I do with the seed? I want to look over in James 1:22, because here's what I can end up doing with the seed if I'm not careful. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, this last week I had a lot of hearing on all the services that I went to, all the messages that I heard. But this one says, it's not enough for that seed to get thrown to me, but I need to get it planted. Don't be a doer and not just a hearer. If any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself, goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. And to me, what I'm looking at with the subject today is not just the seed comes to me, but I have some soil and I get that seed planted to where it can take root and grow. This man will be blessed in his deed if we do that. There's another verse, and this book is kind of hard to find sometime. It's in Hosea, the 10th chapter, and in the 12th verse. This says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness among you, upon you. Sow to yourselves, not just I've got some seed, but I'm going to get it in the ground and have some benefit from it. Brother Marty, in a message a few years ago, told us, he said, you know, when I bought my property, I wanted to put some fruit trees. I thought, you know what, I'm going down. I'm going to buy some fruit trees. I'd love to have apples. I'd love to have all this fruit coming. And so he said, I went down to the store and I looked, and this tree was $30. And it says, you will get fruit in 3 years. He thought, 3 years, that's a long, long time. And then maybe a few years later, he'd look again and see one. It's 5 years, you'll get good fruit from this. And he'd be thinking, why would I pay good money for something that won't give me fruit for 5 years? He said, you know what? That was 30 years ago. He said, I could have been having fruit all this time after that. So I'm looking at these verses. Break up your fallow ground, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Break up your fallow ground. And with that, it said, don't be satisfied with just a slight furrow. You know, the seeds that we have been thrown out to us this past week, the word of God that's been given to us, it's a seed coming to us. But what is the condition of my soul for it to be able to go in? I was thinking of that definition of fallow ground. It's had some scraping, some scratching to it, but it's not very deep. It's saying dig on down deep and to where the seed can go in and be able to be fruitful and multiply. There's a verse over in Job 23 and 16. And the Lord is able to do this with the soul of my heart. If I get over in Job, 23rd chapter, 16th verse. God makes my heart soft. I'm thankful for that. It's not just up to me to get a soft heart. You ever had the Lord send some things to you, and they're difficult things? There were things you'd rather not even happen in your life, but it causes something to happen to my heart. It softens up, and it makes it to where that seed, when it's sown now, can produce some fruit. There's another verse over in Ezekiel. Ezekiel in the 36th chapter and in the 26th verse. A new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. What salvation is able to do to us takes out a stony heart and gives us a heart of flesh. We heard it even in the Sunday school class this morning about the seed that is sown in Matthew 13. When it talks about some of it was sown on stony ground. If you go out here, even in the parking lot right now, it's asphalt. Nothing will grow in asphalt except if there's a little crack and a little bit of dirt and a little bit of water, and you will see grass trying to come up in that. Sometimes you will even see a little sprig of a tree trying to come up in a crack in concrete or something. But it tells us, it's kind of like my heart. It says in Matthew 13, when he describes it, because I want to have in my heart, what is it? I want to be able to plant the seed. I want it to come up in good soil. In Matthew 13 and 20, it's explaining it. He that received the seed in stony places, he hears the word and anon with joy receives it. You know how easy it is, even in the meeting that just went on, to hear a message and it just rings true to me. Oh yes, I see. I might even see things I need to make adjustments about. He receives it with joy, yet he doesn't have root in himself. He dureth for a while when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word. The word that I should be able to plant and it produce some fruit, this word now, by and by, he is offended. I don't want that to happen in my life. It's important for me to get to that plant stage to where that seed has gone down in good soil and it now is producing some fruit. I was looking at places in the Bible where we see this. A person is saying, the word of the Lord came to me saying. You ever wanted, wished, I tell you what, I wish the Lord would just talk to me like he talked to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me saying. You ever pray, Lord, I would like for you to speak to me. You know how he often speaks to us? It's through his word. I want to be able to be real sensitive that he can speak to us. Here's a place where I thought of this song. This is what the Lord would like to have us have happen in our lives. It says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. You know, morning time when it's just a fresh start for the day is a good time for us to be communing with the Lord. It says, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. He walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That is what's available for each of us, to be able to have a relationship with the Lord, where I would like to be like Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to me saying, and you know what, I can be just like Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me saying, and he brings a scripture to my mind that's a help for me. There's another verse of a song. All the burdens once so heavy, light and easy seems to be. In my soul is heaven's sunshine when my Savior talks with me. I am thankful that that talking is available in 2025. Sometimes that talking is like our parents would do with us. It's correction. It's adjustments that I need to make. I'm also very thankful when he talks and says in this area, you know, remember with the churches in Revelations, I believe almost every one of them had a commendation. He told them, in this area, you're doing good in this area. But this area, you need to make some adjustments. I want to be happy for the Lord to talk to me in either area or combine the two together. Dan, here's where you're doing good, but here's where you need some improvement, and be able to receive that. Put that seed in and let it grow. You remember when Samuel was young enough that he did not recognize the voice of the Lord? I want to be able to learn, you know what, and I think we heard it in our Sunday school class this morning, being able to recognize the voice. Remember, he just heard somebody call his name. So it's got to be Eli. Eli's the only other one in the house. And so he goes to him twice. And finally, you know what, Eli recognized. I wonder if Eli in his mind said, that's what I used to hear. I used to have the Lord talk to me like that. And then he told him, he said, next time when you go back to bed and you hear that voice again, you just say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I want to be able to have that in my own life. I want to be able to let him speak to me. And I could say, well, it would be real nice if he just audibly talked to me. You know what? It's almost just as good when he will bring a scripture to my mind. Thy word, O Lord, I've hid it in my heart. Not just that I might not sin against thee, but that I would be able to lead a successful Christian life while I'm here. You ever read through Psalms 119? Those scriptures, almost the whole distance, the longest chapter in the Bible, almost all through that chapter there is talking about how much I love the law of the Lord. Happy to be able to get to know more of it. Over in Psalms 119. I'd like to look at a few of those verses. You know, I remember Brother Lorne, it seemed like he would be so happy when he moved over into Psalms 119. He would enjoy those scriptures. And as I looked at those, I thought about him. Psalms 119 and 18. Here's what my desire is. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The eyes of my understanding is what it talks about in Ephesians 1 and 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You know, we're in a time right now where the eyes of my understanding can be bogged down with a whole lot of things. that's happening around me. It can be in the political world, things that are happening around me. But for me to be able to have this desire, Lord, I want you to open my eyes so I can be able to understand some wonderful things that's over in your law. In 119 and 30, and I may have the wrong verse, the entrance of thy words bringeth light. I was thinking of that. As I read the scripture and I have a heart to receive it, the entrance, as it comes into me, that I would be able to have a soul that when that scripture comes, that I would be able to plant it. I am thankful for that. And also over in 119 and 105, thy word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my pathway. There's all through that Psalms 119, he's desiring to receive instruction from the Lord, and he wants to be able to make some changes from it. Look at the 59th verse of Psalms 119. I thought on my ways. You know, it is good for us sometimes to take some time and think on our ways. I thought on my ways, and what am I comparing my thinking to? If I compare, what does it say? We're not wise to compare ourselves by ourselves. What I want to do is compare it by the Word of God. And where it says, I thought on my ways, and then I turned my feet. Thinking on his ways caused some changes to happen in my life. I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet to thy testimonies. And then did he do it with a lot of reluctance? Well, if I want to go to heaven, I'm going to have to do this. What did it say? In the 60th verse, I made haste, and I delayed not to keep thy commandments. I want to be able to have the same kind of love for the Word of God that throughout this chapter was portrayed many times in this chapter. In the 9th verse, it lets us know how valuable the Word of God is. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Here it comes, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And that's not just, it's stuck just in my thinking, but it's down inside my heart. These instructions have become planted, and now they're producing fruit. When temptation comes to me, it's not just a seed that I have, but I have let it come down and begin to grow something that I can resist the devil with. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We have, here's some seeds, just a few seeds that I want us to look at for a little bit and see what the value is. Here's a seed. Do I have it now just as a little seed, or have I planted it and it is a thriving bush in my life? Let's look at this one. Mark the 11th chapter. Because I started trying to bring it on down to practical in my life, the things that are important to me. Mark 11 and 25. When you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So let's think about, I want to plant the Word of God in my heart. So here comes a little seed. It's just some instruction for me. When you stand praying, forgive. You know what? Unless I put that seed down into some good soil and it starts growing, here's some that add to it to tell me the importance of it. 26th verse. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Remember where it says it's real easy to be kind of like this grass in the sidewalk. It springs up, but there's just not much depth to it. And when a time comes that it's really needed, you know, this grass that's out here growing in the sidewalk will not make it through a real dry spell as much as grass that can have a lot of water around it. So I'm thinking about that for us, for me, with this one thing, forgiving others. Is it just a seed I know that's what the scripture says, or has it become a plant in my life, in my heart? Have I cultivated it to where when it's needed? What does it say about the stony ground? Dureth for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises, or the need for me to forgive somebody. You know, this scripture is great as long as I have nobody doing me anything wrong. But when I really need it to be producing fruit in my life is when someone has done me wrong. You know, Stephen in the scriptures did not have time to take a seed and plant it and get it to grow into the kind of bush that he was going to need in his life of forgiveness. What did he say? Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." But Stephen, as he was being stoned, said, "Lord, I want you to not lay this sin to their charge. I forgive them, Lord. I'd like for you to forgive them." You know what? That didn't come from just, I remember the scripture tells me I need to do that. But I want to plant the seed. I want it to start growing. I want it to be just in small things. Here's where forgiveness begins. Begins in my mind. It begins with me thinking, you know what? I know why they did what they did. And the devil comes in and starts churning that thing around until it grows into a mountain for us. But if I have started cultivating the soil of my heart, and I have planted this seed of forgiveness, and by the Lord's help, let that bush, that plant grow up in my life to where I can pick fruit from it to be able to forgive. You know what? I don't want it to be. I just have strength in myself to forgive people. I don't think that's even acceptable to God. I believe what he wants to do is realize, you know what, I'm human. Lord, unless you help me, I'll go around with some unforgiveness in my heart also. But I have the opportunity to take this seed and plant it in my heart and it be fruitful for me out in the future. Here's another one in Luke. And this is one that we've been taught since we were children. This is a seed for us, part of the Word of God, Luke 6 and 31. As you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. What we have called the golden rule, for me to go through my life, take this little seed of the scripture, plant it in my heart, and let it start bearing fruit to where I am making decisions off of what I'm about to say, what I'm about to do, that I would be able to have that judged off of, as you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. What a change that would make in my life. There's a scripture over in 1 Corinthians. When we look at these things that we would like to plant in our life, be able to get some good fruit from them. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Okay, I guess I'm going to have somebody help me find it. It's talking about he that soweth sparingly is going to also reap sparingly. But he that sows bountifully, 2 Corinthians, thank you. Because I think throughout all that we've been talking about, this is important. This I say, he that soweth sparingly. I know a lot of the Word of God, maybe I read the whole chapter. But there are some things in it that if I would sow those and let them grow up, if he sows sparingly, he will reap sparingly. If he sows bountifully, he's going to reap bountifully. What if I sowed bountifully with the thought of the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you? If we could pass that down to our children in something more than just a verse for Sunday school, but that it would be a part of their life. They take that seed of the Word of God, they plant it and let it grow to where their decisions, their thoughts are, would I want someone to do that to me? It would make a big difference. In Galatians, in Galatians 5 and 22, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and it starts adding all these little things. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Each of those, if we could think of those as a seed that I get the opportunity to plant, and it to bear fruit in my life, I want to be able to have that. Gentleness is one of those. What seed, what of the Word of God teaches me that that will produce some good fruit for me? I've had this in my own life. James 1 and 19 said, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know, that's been a valuable scripture for me, and I want to plant it in my life and have it to bring forth some fruit. To be able to have gentleness, one thing I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to be swifter to hear than I am to speak. And I want to be able to have that. Here's another one. This is coming to us as a seed, just a little scripture of the Word of God. One of the fruits of this fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. If I will plant that and let it grow into a bush in my life, there's going to be a lot of things that happen to me that long suffering is going to be very important for me. I want to be able to plant these seeds and let them come to fruit. In 1 Corinthians, Chapter 13 and 4. Charity. What is the first one of the fruit? Is love. Charity suffers long. And you know, it didn't just stop there. That's the end of that one. He suffers long. But it says charity suffers long and is kind. If I have taken the seed of the Word of God and I planted that love in my heart, love for God and love for my neighbor, suffers long and is kind, that I would be able to put this to let it bear fruit in my life. Because it's one thing to suffer long, and it's another thing that while I'm suffering long, there's kindness that's going on. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, and in the 36th, here's this question is being asked to Jesus. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So I look at that verse where it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering. All of those is some result of taking a seed of the Word of God, planting it, and now it's bearing fruit in my life. And other people get to reap the benefit from that. I am thankful for it. I want to see more the value of the Word of God. It's a seed being planted. I can go to Monarch and hear all 30 messages, and they just are like a deluge of scriptures and thoughts. But if I never get them planted down in my heart and let them start bearing fruit, the one that every one of us will get to work with, one of them, is forgiveness. And Lord, help me to take that seed in all the places that you tell me to forgive. Help me not just have it in my head, but have it down in my heart. And it's bearing fruit. That the very first one that gets to enjoy the benefit of that is I've got fruit in my life that makes it easy for me to forgive. Not just that, okay, he's a forgiving person that comes natural to him, but to be able to have some fruit bearing in my life. So the Word of God, I'd like for us to look at Psalm number 278. And I'd like for us to sing that in closing. Because this is a desire. It's going to take more than me just, I read the Word and I remember a whole lot of scriptures. But this one says, O write thy wondrous law divine upon the tables of my heart. do more than just help me remember them, but have it down inside my heart. And here's the result from it. That I may keep thy statutes, Lord, and never from thy way depart. Write your law of holiness in living characters of flame, that by a life of purity I may be worthy of thy name. O write thy law of tenderness and of compassion in my breast, till heart and voice and hand reach out to help the weary and distressed. Then the last verse, O write thy law of love within me till my soul shall be. By bonds no storm can ever break, united to thy flock and to thee. So the first one of the fruit of the Spirit was love. And this one says, Lord, I want you to write your law of love within me until my soul shall be. Not just in my head, I remember that that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. By bonds no storm can ever break. We're going to have storms come into our life on a regular basis. It's possible for us, after he has written his law, not just in my head, but in my heart. I planted it. You know, really, all of the parable of the sower and the seed was talking about what happens in my heart when the seed comes to me. You know, there was a place where it says some of it brought forth 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Some of it fell among thorns where it just was not able to spring up. All of those are talking about what I do with the word of God that comes to me. This one says, Oh, may thy perfect law of truth, through seasons changed by day and night, be light and life and strength to me. And then it ends with, I've got to do it. My meditation, my delight. In Psalms 1 and 1, it tells about a man that is not doing some things. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but he is doing something. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Not because it's a rule, I've got to do it, but because it is my delight to do it. I want to plant these down into my heart and let them bring forth fruit. I desire your prayers. Maybe we can stand and sing that 278.